Today's show is brought to you by Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com.
I'm independent.
Hey, welcome to the show, all 11 of you. It is me, Jonathan, and me, James. How are you doing, me, James?
I'm relatively well. John, are you ready for some football?
I am. We're recording this right before the Chiefs hopefully beat the Chargers in Thursday night football. If they do not, then my self-esteem will be devastated tomorrow. That is a strange quirk, and probably the reason I stopped being emotionally invested in sports for like 10 or 15 years. I was a huge Cardinals fan in the 90s. And then I believe it was the 2004 World Series that broke my soul, because they lost to the Red Sox in a sweep. And then I had to hear from everybody about how, hey, them Red Sox, they finally beat their demons and beat the Cardinals. And it turned out,
and that cocksucker Jimmy Fallon filmed a movie about
Yeah. And it turned out that not only was Jimmy Fallon using some kind of pagan horcrux to make it happen through the art of filmography, but also the Cardinals hitting coach was drunk the entire time. So that's why it happened. But I think I stopped after that because it was very depressing. And then Patrick Mahomes happened. And Patrick Mahomes happened. And I started to feel again and started to make my entire self-worth based on how grown men move one way down a field or stop other men from moving the other way down the field.
You were ready to obsessively love again.
Yes. And it's sad and tragic, but that's just what it is. I will say I have something very funny going on right now, and you might hear it in the background. If you listen close, Finn came upstairs today after school's over and said to me, "I need a microphone." And I was like, "Oh, okay, sure. I got microphones around here." I handed him this condenser mic I have. And he's like, "No." And I was like, "Well, how about this one?" It was another kind of condenser mic. And he's like, "No, a microphone, Dad." So I got my old Shure Beta 98, which was my mic in every band I've ever been in. James, I believe, bought it for me. Yes, bought it for me.
It's a 58.
58. Why did I say 98? I don't know what I'm doing. 58. And gave it to him. And he has been downstairs since he came home at 3:30. Playing Back in Black by AC/DC. And singing it. And I'm putting singing in quotation marks. Not much worse than Brian Johnson. Like, it's, you know, it's not like it's a very unique singing style that old BJ had. Mm-hmm. Then he's been coming upstairs and getting his stuffed animals. And I went out to the hallway to get a piss. And he was carrying his stuffed animals. And I was like, "Buddy, what's going on with the stuffed animals?" And he was like, "Well, I need fans." So currently in my living room right now, he is blasting AC/DC's Back in Black while he screams it at the top of his lungs.
Into an unplugged microphone.
Into an unplugged microphone. At a coterie of fans.
Are they fans or are they groupies?
Groupies, maybe, at this point. I mean, Princess Peach is, he's got a Princess Peach stuffed now and loves that thing. So I could see that being there. And yeah, so he's down there, just that's what my life is. And it's funny because I'm 90% overjoyed with this, and I think it's the most adorable thing in the world, and 10% just a little annoyed. Like it's still going on. Like, it's still, he's still doing it, is he?
Adorable, okay. is fantastic until it hits that point of no return on repetition.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah. Is this going to stop? Well, and then the worst thing is then it does stop. And then starts again. That's the worst part, is that happening.
You're like, okay. We've made it through this.
Yeah.
As a team.
So.
No, we didn't.
Oh, and by the way, when he was going downstairs, he said to me, "I'm Brian Johnson now." Much like Captain Phillips scenario. Like, "I am the Brian Johnson now." And I was like, "Oh, okay." He's like, "Yeah, I'm Brian Johnson." I was like, "Not Bon Scott." And he went, "Who?" And I was like, "You, Philistine. You don't know nothing about no AC/DC, bud." So anyway, that's what's going on. We're going to do a fact show. We're going to do a listen to the show because it could save your life thing. I know I just jumped right in to talking about my son because it's something you might be hearing in the background. So I felt I would explain it. The other thing about Finn that I wanted to say real quick, though, is yesterday he came upstairs and he said, "Dad, I need my little princess." And I was like, "Is that me? Is that, am I your little princess?" And he went, "No, I need my daughter." And I was like,
"Buddy,
okay, didn't
I know it's public school, but Jesus,
did not know that was a thing." And so I go into his room, and again, like I said, he has a stuffed Princess Peach doll in there. And so I was like, "Oh, okay, he means this." And I grab it, and he's like, "No, not that, my daughter, my baby, my little princess, Dad." So I'm like, "Where is she?" He's like, "She's up in the pet net," which is like, it's just a big net where we put all of his stuffed animals. And so I spent like 5 minutes going through his pet net, reaching up there, trying to grab everything I could. I was like, "Is this it? Is this it? Is it?" And he has a little baby doll. And I was like, "Is this it?" And he was like, "Yes." And he grabs her and he tells her, "I'm a good dad," and walks out of the room.
That seems to be a tacit implication of something.
I know he's six, but that's a little bit weird, right? Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not. I think it's actually amazing. I think that he is a phenomenal human being with incredible personality. And I
he
don't
seems very empathetic.
It's one of those things. I don't worry about him. I worry about the world. Like, Katie said she's been dropping him off at school and everybody knows him. Everybody. She's like, big kids, little kids, kids his age. When he walks by, because everybody he sees, he goes, "Hi." And he knows their name. He remembers everybody's name. He says, "Hi, Gate, Aiden." Well, they're all named Aiden something or other. Yeah. So it's easy. And yeah, so it's just, we've joked about it on my morning show. My producer, Jim, has said that that Finn is starting a cult. I don't know. It's not 100% true.
Well, John, you moved to Boston, and sometimes Finn just wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Maybe.
Finn is the norm of grade school.
He's got a wife at school, too. Her name is Zoe.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, I hope to meet her one day. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get to meet her parents at the wedding.
Right.
You know, but I guess they're a little shy because as far as
and
I know, Zoe
they've
might
got a daughter. He's a good dad. And I, yeah, if I were you, I would have had a brief moment where he takes the baby and he goes, "I'm a good dad." And I'm like, "The fuck is that supposed to mean?" What are you saying about me?
What
huh?
is that about me? Am I not? Am I not setting a good example for you, son?
I spent the last I don't know how long finding your baby. Yeah, that doesn't seem like such a good dad to me.
Yeah, your precious little princess.
I had to find her, not you.
Ugh, man, I do not envy fathers who have to work like in an office all day. I'm glad I get to work from home. It is so, like, especially for my particular life, like, this is stuff, this is fodder, fuel for my on-air stuff. All right, so we're going to do a fact show, which we have not done in a very long time. Fact show consists of, we're going to have two facts from each of us. One, I don't know, one at a time. I don't know what I'm saying here. I'm very tired. We're going to have one fact at a time. We're going to have two facts each. And we're also going to do a cameo review because we used to do that. And that was really fun. Until we kind of ran out of people to do them for. And if you don't know what a cameo review is, well, Cameo is a website where celebrities, usually not very important or popular celebrities, go to make a lot of money because then you can have the bald dude from The Office, Kevin, you know, wish your wife a Merry Christmas and happy fertility.
Spill chili all over himself.
Spill chili. That's what the ladies want. And it's fucking disgusting. We started with Vince Neil, I believe is where this started.
Yeah.
We did Vince Neil because he was on.
Hey, Brandon, happy birthday, brother. And the guy's name was Scott.
Yeah.
He
was unintelligible. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to do that. But our facts, my first fact is this. There was a TV show on Adult Swim that I know, James, you were a big fan of. I liked it okay, but it got a little bit too over the top for my taste. But it was a show on Adult Swim that was incredibly popular. In fact, it launched like multi-platinum albums and like tours with a band based on the show went around and playing. And Adult Swim canceled it just because... Just because the head of the TV network Adult Swim was like, I don't like you guys. I don't like you. So I don't want to work with you anymore, which is crazy. It was like one of, if not the most successful show on Adult Swim at that time. My second fact is that Persians invented ice, which is not something you would suspect. You would think it would be people in, I don't know, northern climates would have invented ice. But then again, they're surrounded by ice all the time. So I guess that wouldn't really be that impressive. Persians did it in the desert. How did they do that? Well, you will
now,
find
when you
out.
Say invented ice.
Okay. They invented,
discovered a manner
way
in which to,
of cultivating okay. ice. And this was, by the way, back in 400 BCE. Why do we have to put the E on there? I know it's before Common Era instead of before Christ, but just still. It's stupid that we do that. Like it would just either change everything or change nothing. Like that's my motto. Why put in a half-assed effort at something? I just don't get it. What are your facts, James?
Well, speaking of half-assed efforts, I have a fact about state birds and them not being most states not being particularly creative when they pick a state bird.
Okay.
There are some birds that are very, very popular.
Okay.
Others that are not. The blue-footed booby, I don't think anybody has that. I think the nene, I think only Hawaii.
I've done some Google searches that would contradict what you just said. I've seen some blue-footed. That's where the woman stands on the boobs and crushes the blood out of them, right? And they turn blue. When her carpet smackers are just so droopy.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
And I have a fact about the first person in known history to receive a speeding citation.
Like it.
And you shouldn't speed because you could die. So if you don't, then that could save your life.
Oh, yeah. The ice
thing. Of
course,
you could also die if you're driving very slow.
The ice thing could save your life, too, somehow. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. So much more. But right now, it's time to start with a cameo review.
Cameo.
Review.
Review it.
All right. Again, the way this works is we go on the website Cameo, scour it. Actually, James did this today, so I'm just going to give him credit. We go on the website Cameo, or again, in this case, James does, and find a celebrity that is on there doing their best. is honestly the only way to describe it. Doing their goddamned best. Like, it's just sad because they need money or else they wouldn't be on this website. And I think there's something satisfying in it, and that's probably why we enjoy doing this so much, is because these are people who think they're better than us, lowering themselves to basically OnlyFans, but G-rated, you know?
Well, and it really gives you an idea of a particular individual's
career arc.
Where they think they're at.
Yeah.
Because they choose how much to charge.
Yes, that's true.
And
true.
I think there's a new feature that I don't believe they had last time we were doing this, where it'll give you like the average time of the message that they leave.
Oh, really? Okay. So that you know how much you're getting for your buck. So
right.
If it's only like 30 seconds, it's like, I'm not going to bother with that.
But like, Brad Garrett, who was on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, I like Brad Garrett.
he's expensive, yeah, but he's going to talk to you for about 2 minutes.
See, I like that. But then again, I've gotten cameos for you that went on way too long. Way too long.
Kevin McDonald had a lot to say.
I love Kevin McDonald. I love Kids in the Hall. I love the fact that he put so much into the cameo, but it went on for a time. For a time. The best one I did was the guy who plays Arthur on Red Dead Redemption 2, the video game. I did that for Henry for his fifth grade graduation, which was a little bit of a big deal considering that it was COVID and everything, and there wasn't much of a graduation. And so I was just trying to do something to, like, hey, look, the world still exists. It's still fine out there. And he was great. He was phenomenal, and he kept it short. He kept it sweet. He said everything I needed him to, and that was great. Willie McGee from the Cardinals, I got him for my mom, was fine, except for it seemed like he was doing it from his basement, and there was not a lot of lighting. So you could kind of like see his reflection in the TV he was watching as he was doing the cameo review. But otherwise.
Willie's got a man cave. Otherwise, there were a couple, like Bam Margera's on there, and it was just, it was sad.
That's the difficulty in this. Right. And it's hard to find a celebrity that is funny, but not sad, because that's a fine line where they're desperate. The desperation is funny. Where they're obviously like at a very low place in their life and have no control over where their career is going, that's when it gets sad. So without further ado, it's our camera review of, you referenced Cheers earlier, so I think it's only appropriate, Kirstie Alley. Here she is.
All right. Hi, it's me, Kirstie.
I just realized something. She has somebody else filming this, because at the very beginning, somebody else goes, all right, ready?
All right. See that? Hi, it's me, Kirstie, and a bunch of you have asked me to do these greetings.
Now, if you pay attention to her voice, James and I had a debate over what's going on there, and we'll get to that after the...
And I always do what you ask me to do. Oh, I just had a new baby, by the way.
She didn't, by the way.
I know I'm a little old for a new kid, but...
She did not have a child.
Congratulations to me, I'd say. Anyway, if
I have no idea what she's talking about.
You want something funny or you want something sincere, I would really try to be sincere. But, you know, like, sort of like, hi, I love you. Or, you know, Merry Christmas. Or I want a divorce. Whatever you need, I'll deliver.
How old is...
Hello.
Oh, hold on. We're done.
Congratulations.
No, we're good. How old is Kirstie Alley, James?
She is...
No. I was asking you. I know the answer. I'm sorry. I wasn't asking you to look it up. She's 71. Okay. Yeah, she's 71 years old, which obviously that baby that she had was not hers. That's her grandchild, which also makes me think that it was her child, her daughter, filming that, which also makes me like think that her daughter is probably dependent on Kirstie Alley for her life. And how sad would it be if you have to set up a cameo for your mom because you'd need diaper money? Just saying, that's the situation you were hearing there. Now, Kirstie Alley is an interesting person because she... A lot of people have said that she's nuts, but a lot of other people have said, no, she's nuts for pay. She is putting this on. This isn't a real thing. I've heard stories about like her. She does like rodent rescues and things like that, where she has baby squirrels. That's not that crazy. Bob Ross did that. But I also heard stories. This was from a while ago, where she had a baby possum and asked her assistant to breastfeed the baby possum. It might have been a joke. Don't know. So she might legitimately...
I don't think that works.
...be crackers. I don't know. We had an argument, though, over why her speech sounds like that. She's obviously slurring. Now, that could be because she's 71. Maybe just muscles are a little bit looser. Maybe teeth are a little bit looser. Whatever. By the way, looks good for 71. I will say that. She's a good-looking woman. I always was, but I was kind of surprised that she's already 71. But she's obviously slurring her speech a bit. I assume it's from drinking. You think there's something wrong with her face.
So I don't discount the fact that she may be shithoused.
Yes.
However, there is a thing that's going on in all of the cameo videos that I saw. And her mandible, her lower jaw, as she's talking, she does this weird little back and forth thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like a nervous tick. I don't know if there's a medical issue. I don't know what the hell's going on. But I noticed it the first time. I went, huh, that's a funny thing she's doing while talking. Just going.
Yeah.
But she did it in every video.
So it could be that she, maybe it's a facial reconstruction thing. Because again, she looks good. She looks surprisingly good for somebody who is 71. I would maybe put her in her 50s based on that video. She looks very good. But again, was always attractive, so she has that going for her. She is also a very interesting person because she'll come up at random times in my life where people will be like, oh yeah, Kirstie Alley. And I'll be like, what? She originally was in Star Trek. She was in the first Star Trek movie, I think as like just kind of a background character, maybe a red-shirted ensign that gets murdered.
Wasn't she kind of a bitchy Vulcan?
That's what it was. She was a bitchy Vulcan. Not a huge Star Trek nerd, so I couldn't remember that exactly. The other thing is, one time James and I went up to Springfield, Illinois to audition for gay porn, and we were rejected immediately because we told them we're straight, and they're like, okay, well, that's actually what we're into, and they're like, and we're not willing to do anything with penises. They were like, well, that's, do you know why you're here? And we were like, we just thought it was a very happy porn. We didn't know what you were casting Yay! For. Yeah. What a dumb joke. I'm sorry. Anyway, but we
when actually, that didn't work out.
When that didn't work out, we went to a, remember the TV show, the syndicated TV show, The Weakest Link, because both James and I, especially James, are pretty good at trivia. And so we thought, well, we'll give it a shot. And we did. We tried it out. Didn't make it. Went back to the gay porn thing because we needed money to get home. That's another story. It's also why I have to sit on a pillow to this day. And when we were there, though, they were like, now, don't think that getting on TV for The Weakest Link will make you famous, because it won't. A lot of people try to get on these shows thinking it's going to make them a big star. And I was just like, who the really? And they're like, the only person that's ever happened to was Kirstie Alley, who apparently got her start on, like, I don't know, The Price is Right or something. I'm not going to Google it. But she apparently was a contestant on something and just blew the socks off of everybody because she's super attractive. And so then they were like, how about you play a bitchy Vulcan? And then how about you play a bitchy bar owner? And how about you play a bitchy mom who's got a talking baby? And
that's, you are just going to give Sam Malone the business.
The business. Business.
The business.
Also, it's hard for me to think about Kirstie Alley and babies without me thinking about Look Who's Talking, because that is the movie that forced my mother to tell me how babies are made. I watched the movie and I saw the sperm swimming towards the egg. And
I Get Around by the Beach Boys.
That's right. And I told my mom later, I know how babies are made. I was 10 years old, by the way. I should have known this, but I was 10 years old. Nobody wanted to tell me.
Catholic school.
And I she was like, how? I was like, well, a man. And she's like, yes. And a woman. She's like, okay, so far so good. Get together. She's like, okay. And he spits in her mouth. Because I thought the little sperm were like, spit. I don't know, particulates. I don't know. I was close. Sperm, spit, whatever. Come see, come saw, literally. And she pulled the car over. I'll never forget this. Pulled the car over into the West Junior High parking lot and sat there for a solid minute just looking at the sky. My mom is a very sweet woman.
Somehow, when she pulled into that parking lot, it made not only the tire screech, but also the record scratch sound.
Yeah, yes. And she was just like, has your dad not talked to you about this? I was like, no. She's like, and you haven't learned it in school? I was like, no. She's like, okay, Jesus Christ. And then she
went Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
Jeez, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Kirstie Alley, thank you for all the memories. You were great. James, how much is Kirstie Alley going for on Cameo? How much do you think?
Oh, I know. I know.
Okay.
So I know.
Oh, this is, yeah. You need to play along, man. Just fake it. Okay. Kirstie Alley is going for how much, James?
200 plus.
Yeah.
And like plus. An average video time of like just over 30 seconds.
However, if you just want a message from her, that's only $20, which I think is just a chat. Like, it's not a message. It's not her saying hi. I was like, oh, it's literally just somebody typing and claiming to be Kirstie Alley and saying thanks for being a fan. Which maybe is worth $20. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I am a little disappointed. My entire, since we've started this Cameo thing, I have told my wife I want for my birthday to get a Cameo message from John C. McGinley, Dr. Cox from Scrubs, because he always
he does them
and he's great. He's phenomenal at them. He does them in a way that's so encouraging and uplifting. And he's like, you know, your wife,
it's everything JD always wanted.
Yes, it's literally everything JD ever wanted. That's what they are. He looks at the camera and he goes, Bill, your wife Claire got a hold of me. And I'm glad she did, because you seem like a fantastic guy. You know, your horse husbandry service is just going great. And
she says you jack off the horses better than anybody in North Carolina.
You got like Popeye-sized forearms from jerking off these horses, bud.
Better than anybody in North Carolina. The whole state.
The whole state. And your
kids. That's horse country, buddy.
Your kids with their torsos that are upside down are very fascinating to me. And I just want to let you know that here on your 41st birthday, you're doing not only the best you can, but I think as good as anybody in your position could do. And I'm proud of you. That's literally what the videos are. And I just want that. I just want that so bad. And every time Katie's like, it's like $200. I was like, it's my money. I don't care. The thing is, I can't do it for myself, because that's crazy. But I want it so bad.
$200 under her pillow. Tell her it came from the Cameo fairy. And like, give her your goddamn camera.
Maybe I will. Maybe, you know what? I have to do a remote for Dunkin' Donuts for my station. And you know how much I love doing remotes.
Well, you love donkeys.
I do love donkeys. I actually do. I'm a big fan of donuts. Not as much the coffee, but donuts. But I have to do one out in Cape Cod, which is like an hour and a half drive on a Friday. So it's going to be a nightmare going out there. It's going to take me probably 2 hours to get out there and 2 hours to get back. And this is why I'm the one who's doing it, because everyone else probably turned it down.
They asked, they're like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you. Cause I had another, the only other remote I've ever done was up in Londonderry, New Hampshire, which was also an hour and a half away. Anyway, I like meeting fans and stuff. I just don't see a lot of them being out there. Anyway, I'm going to take the money that I get from that and put it underneath. You're right. Just sneak it into her, like on her side of the bed, and be like, hey, that's the Cameo fairy. You know what I want. You know what I want. Get it for him. You know, I complain a lot about how I make money in this industry by selling out. One way I never feel like I'm selling out is by telling you guys about Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Mostly because this show wouldn't exist without him. Mostly because he is my genuine friend. And mostly because I truly, truly, truly believe in what he does. Not that I don't believe in all of my other endorsements. Not that I don't believe in all the juice cleanses and regenerative medicine and things like that that I sell on my radio show. I do, but I haven't experienced their effect as more completely as I have Cody Akins. Because, well, this show is being recorded on a computer that he made. It has not given me one single problem. I'm the kind of person who wants to throw away a laptop, a desktop, a tablet, a laptop. Have you ever had a good laptop? Oh my God. Sexy, but clunky. I want to throw those things away as soon as they slow down a little bit. This thing ain't slowing down anytime soon. which kind of bothers me, actually, because I like getting new things. It boosts my self-esteem to spend money on stuff I don't need. Anyway, Cody Akins is amazing. Go to him if you need a new computer, or maybe you don't need a new computer, but you would like a good use computer. Go to him for that. If you have a computer that sucks, take it to him. He'll fix it. If your phone sucks, take it to him. He'll fix it. If you need to make sure that your company has good backup for all of your data, because you're terrified of losing that and, you know, having to declare bankruptcy because all of your files are now missing, go to Cody. He sells that as well. He does anything involving computers, and he does it better than anybody else, I guarantee you. Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Make my computer guy your computer guy. Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. It's time to get to facts.
Facts.
Facts are facts.
Wow, interesting.
My first fact. These are, by the way, facts that could save your life. Maybe will save your life. Metalocalypse was the TV show that I was referring to earlier. It was on Adult Swim for a while. James, if you could, because I didn't bother to look this up earlier, could you look up when it aired, like from beginning to end, when its final season was? I believe there's going to be a movie on HBO Max that'll be out pretty soon. But Metalocalypse was a TV show about the band Death Clock. Death Clock was a self-described brutal death metal band.
2006 to 2013.
2013. That sounds about right. They did like amazingly well. The show took off a little bit slow, but like with music fans, things like that. But it just built a huge following to the point where there were records, tours, merch. Death Clock toured with big metal bands like Mastodon, and I don't know if you've heard of them, but Metallica. There was a band called Brutal Legend had songs from them. They released apparently the highest charting melodic death metal record in history. And there was a big falling out between Mike Lazo, who's the CEO or was the CEO of Adult Swim, and Brendan Small, who was the writer and creator of Metalocalypse. And we don't really know what happened, why it was like this. Maybe it was a thing where Brendan Small didn't like the fact that the show was getting so big, and he was probably hearing about it constantly from the very hardcore fans of the show. The show, by the way, in the show, the fans are insane for this band. Like, they literally kill each other to see the band. They are fine with being killed by the band. In fact, they want to be murdered by the band. In various horrible ways. Anyway, it was a funny show. I have a little bit of a problem with gore, so I felt like it went a little bit over the top sometimes. James, I know you and our friend Matt loved it. And it got canceled like out of nowhere based right on this tumultuous relationship between Mike Lazo and Brendan Small. And Adult Swim did something very interesting because they kept getting petitioned by people who wanted the show to come back. So Adult Swim said, hey, you want the show back? How about this? We'll set up a fax machine. And you can, if you're so determined, because this is 2013, I don't know where the hell you're going to find a fax machine, but if you're so determined to get the goddamn show back on the air, we'll set up a fax machine and we'll put a live stream of your petitions coming in through the fax machine, put it online, and we're just going to see how determined you are to bring it back. Never promising anything. Never saying we'll bring it back if we get so many faxes or whatever. But it seemed like almost like a measure of good faith. Like, oh, are you guys really serious about this? Or is this just kind of a thing?
Do you remember when Conan O'Brien got Dirty Dancing re-released in theaters?
Yeah, and he regretted it immediately. He was like,
because it was a joke the whole time.
Yeah, it was a joke the whole time. He's like, it's not a good movie, guys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. Anyway, so and fans indeed did. Faxed Adult Swim, and it went to this number and faxed them, like, you know, emails and whatever you fax, I don't know, or letters saying bring the show back. And what Adult Swim did was they put a garbage bin right underneath where the faxes came out, so as soon as they'd print, they'd go right into the garbage. Fans sent, like, you know, things saying please bring the show back, it's my favorite show. And then when that started happening, they started sending, like, not safe for work pictures and other horrible detritus of the internet, and it never changed. Nothing ever happened. Mike Lazo has now retired from Adult Swim. He's no longer the CEO, so that means there is going to be a Metalocalypse TV or a movie on HBO Max. So I guess that should maybe satiate people. But yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing to me, because on one hand, what a shitty thing to do to your fans. These are people who are fans of your TV station. They have supported your shows, and you're like, oh, fuck you. On the other hand, got to give props. That's pretty funny. I mean, that's just funny. That it really is. Like, it's, I will always, deep in my heart, no matter who the person is or what they're doing, it could be something heinous and vile, I will always have a strange appreciation for people who just don't give a fuck. Because I don't have that in me. I don't. I have a little bit sometimes if I get angry enough where I might go over the edge, and then I spend weeks regretting that. Like, I'll end up yelling at somebody and then be like, oh God, oh, what the fuck was I doing? I've had it a couple times on air where I've gotten into it with the caller, and not on my country station, but, you know, back on KMBZ, where I'd get into it with the caller. We'd start yelling back and forth, and I would be like, okay, you know what? That's it. And I'd just like go off on him. And I'd feel bad about that, because that's not who I am. I appreciate people who just don't give a fuck. And Adult Swim in that moment was just given two full barrel blasted middle fingers to their entire audience. And I think that's kind of cool.
It's interesting, the divergent paths that Brendan Smalls and Lauren Bouchard took.
Yeah, it's true. Because they both did home movies, right?
Yeah.
It was another TV show on Adult Swim. And what does Lauren Bouchard do now?
Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers, right, of course. Yeah, Bob's Burgers with H. John Benjamin, who was on, of course, Home Movies.
Also did Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, which is available on HBO Max. That's true,
he did, yeah. And they did, yeah. All right, anyway, that's my first fact. James, what's your first fact?
Brendan Small's also a graduate of Berklee
College of Music. Yep.
In Boston.
In Boston. James, that was not your fact.
My first fact.
Yeah.
There are 7 states of the 50 in these here United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her with the light and the flight and the...
What?
The dove? I don't know.
With the
7 states have the Northern Cardinal.
Through the night, through the night with the light from above.
I wanted there to be a dove because I'm talking about birds.
All right, sorry. That's a good point.
Interesting thing is, 7 states, Northern Cardinal, they're all geographically connected. They're all contiguous. It's kind of a weird pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina. Now, all of these states are well within the natural North American habitat of the Northern Cardinal. But that being said, the species is active in nearly 2/3 of the continental United States.
Okay.
Southern part of Canada and a good chunk of Mexico, like except for the west coast of Mexico, like Cardinals get around.
Yeah. That's why so many teams have Cardinals as their mascot. Though I do have an interesting fact about the St. Louis Cardinals that you're going to hear whether you like it or not after this, but go ahead.
Fair enough. Missouri, despite having a professional baseball team by the name.
Yep.
Has chosen the Eastern Bluebird as their state bird.
Yep. I know the reason
to the west of Illinois and Missouri, you have a similar lack of creativity amongst 6 states that aren't all contiguous, but they're kind of close. Kansas, Nebraska, mm-hmm. North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Oregon all have the Western Meadowlark as their state bird.
Okay.
So there you go.
So it's the most popular bird for any state, right?
Yep. Like, yep. 7 is hands down the winner.
By the way, we all know like the that fact about that Ben Franklin wanted the turkey to be the national bird and not the bald eagle, right? And it, like there was like an actual fight about it, and a few people know this, that the turkey he was talking about was his dick. Gobble, gobble, gobble. That's what he was doing. Now here's my fact about the St. Louis Cardinals. They And I know I'm speaking to people in Kansas City and you like the Royals for some reason. I'm going to say this real quick before I get into my fact too. I just need to make a couple caveats here, a couple sidetracks, then we'll snap it right back. I promise. I need you people to know in Kansas City that I love you. I could not appreciate your support for this show or my radio show for Patreon. Go to patreon.com/JWS if you want to support. Could not appreciate that any more than I already do. Yeah, the JWS. JWS. Though I think just JWS works too, but whatever. When I moved to Kansas City, would tell people, hey, I'm from St. Louis. I'm from St. Louis. And they would say things to me like, oh, St. Louis, I hate the Cardinals. I got that like three different times on my first day in Kansas City. In fact, Nick Wright, who is now got his own big TV show on Fox Sports 1 in the afternoon called First Things First, which I don't understand how a show is called First Things First when it takes place in the afternoon, but whatever. Nick Wright said that exact phrase to me. He's like, oh, nice to meet you. Where are you from? I was like, I'm from St. Louis. He's like, you seem like a nice guy, but I hate the Cardinals. We, as Cardinals fans, we're on the elevator and we're John Hamm. Okay. You know where I'm going with this, James?
No.
And you Royals fans are that kid from Superstore who was also in Mad Men. And you guys are saying, I hate you. And I feel sorry for you or whatever he says. And then we're John Hamm as the Cardinals fans, which makes sense because he's from St. Louis, saying, I don't even think about you at all. That's the relationship as far as I've ever understood it. I've never in my life, I didn't even know there was a rivalry. It's like finding out you have like a third cousin who hates your guts. It was just really Bill. I haven't seen him since grandma's funeral, which was in 1985. We don't hate the Royals. We hate Don Dankinger.
Yeah,
but we don't hate the Royals. That's a thing with us. We don't blame you for winning. We aren't mad at you for that. We're glad that you got something. Anyway, the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, started off being called the St. Louis Cardinals because of the color of their uniforms, not because of the bird. In fact, they didn't have the bird on the uniforms until well, like 10 years or so into their playing career, which I think is interesting. Also, the St. Louis Cardinals football team did not start in St. Louis as like a, oh, they're like the football Cardinals and then the baseball Cardinals. They started in Chicago. Also makes no sense. Like, and then they were like, hey, where are their other Cardinals? Let's move down there. Like they migrated to be together. I don't know. And then they were like, this sucks. Let's go to Arizona.
I don't think Arizona is in the natural habitat of the Northern Cardinal.
That's about right. Yeah.
I think it's too far west.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, a St. Louis Cardinals fan being told that they're hated by or that their team is hated by the Royals, just to put this in a football context, would be like somebody telling you as a Kansas City Chiefs fan that they, as a New York Jets fan, hate you. And you're just like, did we do something to you? I don't even remember that we played like in 2020. I don't even know what happened, man. I don't know. Anyway, that is
just going to roll the dice and assume we won.
Yeah. Yeah. They won. Chiefs won that game. It was bad. All right. My second fact is this. In 400 BCE, which again, I hate that we call it that. I don't know what we're doing, but in 400 BCE, Persians discovered a way to harvest ice. So this was, again, 400 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but apparently not that. It was 400 years before the Common Era, which Jesus is still the basis of, based on the calendar, if you're doing the math. I don't get that at all. In 400 BCE, Persians realized that ice would form in areas where there were shadows at night, in the desert.
And it gets bastard cold.
It gets really cold in the desert. According to the Aladdin song sung by Robin Williams that they cut out of the final cut of on Disney Plus for Aladdin, by the way. It's not there anymore. Anyway.
How does that make you feel, John?
It makes me feel angry. And so, but let's move past it because when am I not? So anyway, they realize a way to cultivate and harvest ice. And not only that, they develop these giant huts where they would store ice using hay as insulation, and the ice kept. And I guess this could save your life if you're in the desert and you're burning to death. Just wait for night. It'll get cold. Put some clay down and some water. It'll get ice, and then you'll have ice the next day. I don't know. I don't know how this could save your life. I just find it fascinating, and I always find shit like this fascinating when we think things are modern inventions that have been around for over thousands of years.
If you can't stand a warm cocktail and you're in the desert and you're like, this, I will not drink a warm Manhattan. I just won't do it.
Do it. No. Yeah. There you go. That's how it is. You're Arthur in the desert. There you go.
Arthur III in the desert.
In the desert. The Arabian years. All right. James, what is your second and final fact?
I wish Dudley Moore was playing drunk right now, but
let's play a game. Dudley Moore, dead or alive?
Dead.
I think dead, right? I think dead. Yeah, I mean, his career was off the map for a while, but I'm pretty sure dead.
I think he got sick somehow.
2002. Yeah, he wasn't doing good towards the end. Ooh, that's sad. Aw, I shouldn't have brought that up. I feel bad now. All right. Anyway, James, what's your second and final fact?
My second, final, and final fact. Okay. It's about the first person ever to receive a citation for speeding, which happened on January 28th, 1896, in the United Kingdom.
1896. Interesting.
In the village of Paddock Wood in Kent. I know you're a big
Anglophile, so I know exactly where that's at. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you all about it in a second. I'm just going to wait for you to finish your sentence.
So, old Walter Arnold got popped by a policeman on a bicycle.
Now, was this on Queen Street?
Oh.
In Paddockwood? Yeah. There's a Tesco there now.
It's probably commemorative. It's probably the the Walter Arnold Memorial Tesco.
Yeah, yeah. All right, anyway, go ahead. This is stupid. A dumb bit.
Was flagged down by a police officer on a bicycle who had him going at 8 miles an hour.
8 miles an hour?
Eight.
I mean,
violating.
I mean, I kind of get it.
Violating the rule of not exceeding 2 miles per hour on the thoroughfare there.
Oh, okay. So they had that rule. How exactly did they measure that? They didn't have radar guns back then.
There's the math formula and the police all had slide rules at the time.
Oh, I see. And, so you have a stick and then you count once they're at one point in the stick. And then, yeah, it's like, sir, you went past Wensleydale Station and... Then, thruppence later, you were at Kent Court. I'm not looking at Google Maps at all. Anyway,
so offended that you would say so.
I'm very mad.
Was actually brought up on four counts, using a locomotive without a horse on a public road.
Mm.
So that was a locomotive without a horse.
I mean, everybody's doing the locomotive.
Allowing said locomotive to be operated by fewer than three persons. Traveling at a greater rate than 2 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this one's kind of interesting to me. Failing to clearly display his name and address on the locomotive.
Okay. All right.
So they didn't have license plates. You just had to write your name and address.
Okay. All right. Like on a chalkboard on the back or something?
I don't know. He was brought to the local magistrate 2 days later.
Yeah.
Found guilty on all four counts and fined £4.07, which adjusted for inflation is about £260 today.
Mm-hmm.
The 10 shillings was for the speeding charge. The everything else was for the others. He had imported a German-made Benz that he had brought over the previous year. It was down Paddock Wood High Street.
Oh, of course. You know. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm.
Yeah. So now there is speculation, though, that this this speed demonry was done with a purpose, because he formed a company, the Arnold Motor Carriage, making a locally built variant of the Benz design shortly thereafter.
Ah, so he wasn't exactly taking the high road then, was he?
Ha ha ha.
Wow.
He was like a franchisee. Mm. And he's like, look, I can go 8 miles per hour.
Let's see if these bastards can do 80. It was 90. It wouldn't make any sense if he only was trying to go 80, then he wouldn't have time traveled. Anyway, that's interesting. I have a quick follow-up fact. Ulysses S. Grant was once given a speeding ticket for speeding, not in a automobile, but on his horse. He was riding, I think it was actually maybe a team of horses. I don't know, but they're going real fast, and pulled over by a police officer, told they're going too fast, given a citation, and there you go. And to this day, presidents cannot be ticketed for anything or charged with any crimes before or after they become president. It set the precedent for the presidents to this day. And thank God. Thank God that's still there. So that was good. You know what? I miss doing this show. I really did.
It had been a while.
And, you know, it's easy. It makes me feel kind of smart. I think we're going to do it again. And we'll do it again next week. By the way, Rod just texted me and said he could record tonight. So that was fun.
Timely.
I texted this man at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and said, do you want to record tonight? And he texted me back at 7 as James and I were wrapping up the podcast and said, and I quote, yeah, I can. What time?
An hour ago.
You know the magazine about weed, High Times? That is actually just Rod's rhythm. That is his circadian chronological adjustments. That is the show.
He's not Central Standard Time. He's on High Time.
Oh, he is not. He is on High Time. So God love him. He'll probably be on the next show. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Take this, bitch. Take this, bitch.